Mississippi. Not a dollar or a dime to my name, and I would be, yeah, your whiskey gypsy, but I will not play your game.
Could you hear us all that time?
No.
Oh. No. You missed out on my ATM pin. I was like, I'll just see if they can hear it.
Well, welcome to Wolf Talk. I appear to be freezing again, but
you're being like the wrong person to us. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm Wolf. Have...
Okay.
Well, I'm nice. TJ. And we have Lip Shock with us tonight.
I'm Scarlet. I'm Mrs. Chunky from Lip Shock. Yes. Hi. Nice to meet you all.
Keyboard player.
Nice to meet you.
Singer.
Yeah, nice to meet you again.
Phone creator.
It's a pointing event.
Yeah.
Player, tech, yeah. Move all little my friend. Equipment, set up everything for me because I can't do it.
And recording. Engineer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's always nice to have someone that can handle all that, that's for sure.
Right, right.
Yeah, one person.
Yeah.
I mean,
you sound kind of like how, my job.
Like, we work like three and four people. So there's a bigger band than we realize.
Yeah.
Well, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm 30.
We're good. We're just getting
I'm
off
fabulous.
You are. I think so too.
She's wolf-tastic is what it is.
Wolf-tastic. Yeah, there you go. Wolf-tastic. That's going to be my new one. I'm going to have to go to work tomorrow and use that one.
Sure.
All right. So we're going to reverse interview you guys. Tell us a little about how you guys are here now and what brought you into interviewing bands and getting Facebook and putting out a label and trying to help musicians that are in the same sorts of struggles that we've been in for years as far as like trying to be, you know, worldwide.
Okay. Well, TJ, you can go first.
Okay,
some word salad.
Well, when we just started getting into this about a year ago, I mean, full time. Don't get me wrong, the guys or the musicians have been playing for years and years. But when we got all into this and I dug in, you know, I'm one of those people that researches everything and tries to learn everything. So, you know, the more and the more I did it, I knew we needed to, all these independent artists in the same boat, you know, they have trouble getting out. Everybody wants you to pay an exorbitant amount of money to do the tiniest thing, you know, so, and sometimes it's scams and you don't know the difference. And I've learned some lessons and, you know, through all this. And, you know, when we met Wolf, she interviewed us, you know, us and our band, and we just kind of connected. It was almost like almost instantly we were like, we should be doing this together.
Fast friends.
That's really cool.
It really was. It was, I think it was really literally once we got off the podcast that night, we were like, hey, you want to interview? Did this with me, you know, like, sure. I already had enough work to do, but I felt like it's necessary, and it was something nobody else is doing. You know, nobody's like trying to go out there and interview unless they're asking, you know, for an arm and a leg, you know,
a guiding light for up and coming original artists that need a place to say, how do we get on the internet? How do we get our music heard? What are some good things that we can do to promote ourselves, and what are the pitfalls? And obviously you're creating a community here, so other musicians watch this, right? Other people who are interested in the bands that they hear that are coming on like us, where we tell everybody, hey, we're going to be on getting interviewed. And that's a very noble thing that you guys
have
come together and realized there are other people that do this kind of thing, but you know, they don't, it's a hard road, just like playing original music.
We lost. Oh, well, I'm sure she'll be back in a second. Yeah, no, but it's really a hard struggle to get out there, and I know firsthand what it's like. And you know, when you have all this great music and you just want people to get it, you know, without having to spend your entire mortgage to get it out there, you know.
No, you're right.
Yeah, that's the old days. Welcome back, Wolf.
Hey, yeah. Thanks.
So anyway. So that's pretty cool that you guys are working together and you're putting yourselves out there and you're you know, diving into the pool of, you know, interviewing people and finding out about their bands and their process and all that.
Yeah, I even have bigger plans. Like, I want to build an alliance of all these independent artists. Like, we outnumber these top 1% of music artists. Like, you know, go after, we, you know, we do that. Maybe we can go after these streaming sites that aren't paying the royalties correctly and not give incorrect information. Like, it drives me crazy. Like, I know firsthand, you know, we, you know, pull a bunch together, you know, what are they going to do? Just listen to the top 10 songs over and over again. No one's going to have any other music. I mean, you know, we have more power, I think, you know, if we group together and kind of took all that on, you know, I want to take on the whole industry, to be honest.
Let's get started, right?
Yeah.
I started 3 years ago. Well, 4 years ago. I started 4 years ago. I was in Texas. Whenever COVID hit, I was in the process of doing interviews and stuff. I started actually working, and I interviewed bands all the time. And then I had to stop, and, you know, it was like off and on thing where I was interviewing people because I moved around a lot. And, but not gonna lie, I mean, I've come extremely far since I've done it. And now that I interviewed TJ and his artists, things have gotten bigger.
That's cool. And I'm glad. Much success to you.
That's the momentum you need.
Well, I mean, we talked a lot about us. So let's talk about you guys. Yeah, your music.
Us?
Who? Me? What?
Lipshock.com.
So what?
How
what
did? Got you
you into music in the front? Like, what made you want to pursue it? And your passion for it, where did it come from? Is that something you always had?
No, I get my turn.
No, I was just
Well,
so go for
We're married. Starless. I guess you probably already figured that out.
What? I said anything.
I was playing piano, writing songs since I was a child. I love to perform. I'm a giant ham. So I just always did it. I had no choice. I was compelled. Seriously, it's that simple. See,
so can I speak now?
No.
How did you get into keyboards?
Because when I was a little girl, we had pianos in the house, so I sat down and just learned how to play by ear mostly, and would start writing songs. But nobody in my family wanted to hear anything, so I had to do it for myself. So in school, you know, like in fifth grade and sixth grade, you're like in the musicals or you're in a show. Or you sing for the, you know, parent teacher night or something like that. So that was fun. And I just kept doing it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to really want to have fun because it's not creative. So you better really enjoy it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
you want to have your day job. And we still have day jobs.
Yeah. I always tell people being an original band should be like being on a bowling team. You're just there to get the shirt. Yeah. You shouldn't expect anything else.
Because, well, you know, funny it is, that's usually the only way you really make money anymore is through your shirt, your merchandise. So, yeah.
What I mean by that is kind of duplicitous, TJ. It just means that your focus should be on creating and having fun. And then what will come after is the music. And if you listen to any of our music, a lot of that is evident. Her and I have been in a partnership for the whole time we've been married, but we were friends before that.
Barely.
And we played in all sorts of original bands, and I did everything. I got back injuries to prove it. PA, everything, lights, all of it, in the van, to the shows, 500 plus shows. We were a corporate band for a while. And then about 2009, we started doing originals, and we've been doing those ever since together. The studio is part of our home, and we plan on doing this until we cannot do it anymore because, how am I going to get rid of this? Okay. The band broke up.
Shit.
Now what do I do? I have to stay. I have to keep playing. The power of Christ compels
me. Okay. But, wow. Okay. Well, anyway, that. And I love writing songs, and it happens very fast. You know what's cool about writing songs? I swear to God, when I write a song, and I'm writing the keyboard, the chord changes. I'm a singer-songwriter, so I'm doing the chords and the vocals, right?
Right.
I just start. You, it just happens. It's, there's no conscientious effort. Like, what should I do now? Where should I go next? Nothing that. And then afterwards, I have no memory of it. I know I wrote it, and when we record it, I hear go, "Wow, it sounds great." That's what I heard, but I don't remember how I wrote it.
That's I can relate. Like my cousin brother's the same way. He writes a song, and if he doesn't record it and watch himself, he'll forget. We literally had thousands of songs recorded that are, I mean, literally like tons.
I didn't even know about them. I'm not forgetting the song. I remember. I'm forgetting how I came up with it.
Sure.
So it's like, because I write it down as I'm going, A flat, B minor, whatever. And then this vocal, but when it's record, I don't remember how it thought of it.
They used to call that being in trance.
Yeah.
It just almost like comes down from the universe to you or something.
I pull it down. Come to me, next song.
Well, you know, a lot of what she writes. A lot of how she writes is like, I always make jokes about how do you feel today, you know, because we're married. And she's like, I feel like shit today or whatever it is. I just don't. I'm like, well, let's go in the garage and write a song. This is the perfect time, you know, that moody type of thing. That's
brooding.
Yeah, it's brooding. I mean, and it's really a form of therapy all the way around. So, you know, the good thing is that we have albums, CDs, whatever you want to call them. We've been through the recording process. We've talked to labels. We've done a lot of stuff, but it is gosh darn hard for any band to have a label. And the funny thing is it's really a card house even to get to the point where we are at. We've been there a long time together. And if we had somebody that could say, I want to take Soul of a Broken Mind to the next level, we already heard it. I mean, most bands don't even get it to that point. So even if you're at that point, it's that last, I call it the last door you have to kick down. So here we are.
Which is why.
Doing it for the love.
Which is exactly what I was going to say, you do it because you love the music. Mm-hmm. And you do that, and that's the main reason. And anything happens, you do the best you can. You try to sound as best you can. And when we go to the studio, I spend the money to sound as best we can. Okay. Right. You know, but you just got to really you love what you're doing. And do it because you love it.
So where are you guys from?
Hey, we're in Hayward, California.
Oh, my God.
My mom and dad.
That's I think this is the furthest one
we've done so far.
Oh, really?
Well, we did have a Canada one.
Near San Francisco.
Canada, those guys up north that try to steal all the gigs. Triumph wasn't that great of a band. Neither was Watch. I'm sick of it.
So you guys talking about maybe touring?
No, you know, not to say anything.
Yes and no. It's that we've been doing it. It's tough. I don't know.
Here's how it is.
Touring now is not like it used to be.
Yeah.
Basically, you just get gigs in dive bars somewhere else than where you are.
We would need commercial backing and a crew. We are not spring chickens anymore, and that takes hard work, and I can say that with qualification. Mm-hmm. So for us, we could go play local clubs around here and play with three other bands on a fucking Friday night and then get 20 minutes to go up there and go, thank you so much, you know, but what,
and no money of that?
It's our energy is better off in writing more material, recording it. And like I was saying to TJ, I've got a whole video set up here. We could stream right from our garage, and maybe we can talk about playing some kind of live little get together with you guys. And that's the future, thanks to COVID knocking it all down. All this stuff's coming back now. But the problem is that now it's fierce competition because everybody that couldn't play is also mixed in with people who are seasoned. Because most everybody who goes to see a band, they want to see a good band. They don't want to see a bunch of people not playing music. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not anybody that does it. It's hard work. But good bands should be a premium and people should support them. But TJ even touched on that. It's just not like that in the music business, I feel.
Well, I was gonna talk about the Not Yet Festival, but
it's the music. You have to really love what you're doing and be appreciative that you get to do that. And you do it good. Yeah. That's a gift.
Oh, I have to ask you about your videos too. Okay. You had some pretty unique little video, like the one with the little cartoon story. That one was pretty cool.
I wanted to do a video for, I like to do at least one video for every album. And I wanted to do a video that was different than just us playing our instruments.
Yeah, we wanted animation.
I wanted something really different. And I thought, what about like, and I saw someone else's video of it animated like that. And the song was about Icarus and getting his wings and flying into the sun and melting and whatever. So I that would be a cool story to put in. And I hired a guy who does the animation videos.
It's a lesson on Icarus.
So it was really cool.
Being human, having
humanity. And that was the story, Icarus.
Well, you know, one of the top videos this year was Linkin Park had this like AI created like CGI thing, and that was like one of the biggest hits of the year. So yeah, that's kind of where it's going.
Do that.
Well, we have lyric videos that are AI created.
We do have a couple AI videos.
They're very good. We have a person. Yeah. I can't tell you who. It's a secret. Somebody famous.
I'm the same way. If somebody asked me some of my videos, like I got asked by like a marketing company the other day, they were like, "How did you get that?" Well, because I use footage from. We did like a cover from a video game thing, and they were like, "How did you make it look better than the original video?" I was like, "I don't know. It's top secret. I can't tell you."
Well, you don't tell them your secret.
Yeah,
it's the stories though, because I think that a lot of music gets overlooked because you don't really listen to the story. There's a story in my songs anyway.
Well, people they want to hear it, and they want to. Everybody visualizes things. That's what's great about comedy is a comedian can tell a joke to a room of people and all of them will visualize it differently, but it's universal that we do that. We use our imaginations. Human beings are just that way. And we try to tap in on that. And she has
I live
such
in
a fan- great way.
I live in fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, if you put on a set of info, we lost the
I'm still here. I'm messing with my camera. I'm seeing if I can get it to work right.
My heart. Yeah, take it.
No, come on. No, I live in fantasy land. You should see I make fairy houses still.
Oh, no, not the fairy houses.
Yeah, so I just.
They're good.
And then I have an unusual day job too. So it's all works.
Artist. That's what
well, tell us about your fairy houses.
Oh, they're tiny little houses I make with art. And I put lights in them, and it's for fairies to come and visit you.
Are there any that we could grab? And
no. The fairies come in. I have the page on Facebook, Scarlet's Fairy House Magic.
Do you sell them?
Yeah, but it's kind of... But he'd like me to sell them because it's just rooms.
It looks like the Disneyland parade.
But
maybe you should start selling them for money.
Well, I have a day job. I'm a tennis pro. That's my day job. So...
Will you go play tennis?
I did. I was playing for a long time professionally.
I was cool.
And then a musician on the weekends.
That's a pretty cool. Switch between.
People don't believe me when I tell them, but it's true. So he's just jealous when I talk about that.
So you good at tennis?
I was really good. I was like in the top eight in the United States in college tennis in the U.S.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
World, I was maybe in the 500s, which is...
For college tennis.
No, for the world. I was in the 500s, but you're not making money in the 500s. Okay? You got to get to the top 100 to make money.
Right. And
you are at the Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, but that was for college tennis.
Yeah, for the college.
Yeah, that was college. That's not pro. Two different things.
Well, I mean, it's something.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We have to educate at all times.
Yeah, our son almost wasn't born. Thanks, you educated me there as well.
I'll let that.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, ask a question. It takes 30 minutes to answer.
So do you guys have any new music or anything recent that's come out?
Yes, thank
Can't
you.
Tell you anything about it. Topsy.
Thank you. It was like I was kind of stifled for a few months, and then when I freed myself from other bad things,
careful.
These new songs came out, and I've just been. It's been really hard for him because I wake him up early and I go get in the garage, turn on the recording equipment. We're going to record another song.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. And we just got a new guitar player.
And I play guitar as well.
Well, he's the bass player, but he for my recordings, I make him play guitar. Well,
bass playing is harder than guitar playing.
I didn't say one of them easier. They both are complex in their own ways.
I'm not our bass player would agree with you. He thinks he's the...
Five, he plays the bass.
Bass player what?
I said our bass player would agree with you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That all the talent is in the bass. He definitely...
That's most important either.
Oh, don't get me wrong. He's really good, but yeah, he's really, really good.
We were a cover band for like 11 years playing
right.
Weddings, you know, bar mitzvahs. Yeah,
so we were professional.
We played Santa Rita Jail 13 times.
That's a
Santa Rita Jail.
Run prison.
And we played the Dublin Federal Pen twice. Yeah, and Heidi Fleiss was there. There is our claim to fame. We played for Heidi Fleiss.
Remember her?
Do you remember Heidi Fleiss?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
We
played prisons. We were a funk band and dance band, and we had horn section and Kungud. It was a lot of fun and a lot of money, but the original.
Yeah, so you're probably wondering, maybe Wolf, you might be TJ. He's a little behind right now because of the lag, but
yeah, so, I try not to look at my face because
I haven't looked at my face yet. So when people ask us, ultimately, when we get interviewed, they always say, well, you know, like, if you're going to tell someone what style of music Lipshock is, what is it? Like, if you wanted to describe it. So I always make this joke that Lipshock is easy listening, heavy metal, meaning, right? Because you immediately go, oh, that's a contradiction. But it's funny, but it's melodic, female-led keyboards. Harmonies. It's very, very universal across anybody that would like rap or, you know, any kind of type of music you listen to. If you heard us, you would go like,
I don't know
what, because her voice is unique. I mean, she's very hard rock singer, right? So she doesn't sound like anybody else. And she's the way that she sings, her pitch and her harmonies are like, that's one of the first things I said was, how do you do that? What, you are a freak of nature. Nobody does that. And then
a lot of people do.
Through the years of being married and playing songs and writing music, we go in the studio and she fucking sings 7 or 8 parts over and over again without retaking any of them. Like literally saves us thousands of dollars because she never has to retake anything. You know, I'll be like sitting next to the engineer. I'll be like, listening. I can't. She's right on. How does she do it? So that's something.
He's talking about double tracking.
Well, it's something unique in her ability because she's got so much going on, writing all this music, coming up with this really remarkable story and lyrics. And the fact that I have found a heart in creating the music and putting it together, to me, as far as coming from a bass player, right? And what I do, because sonically and with tones and how we do things, you have to be strategic about what you do. Because if you listen to any of our songs, and I'm sure you guys would be like, he's a good pitch man. I just bought all 3 of their CDs. And look at our songs, you will hear with headphones, you'll be transported to a magical domain. And that's not BS. You will.
Around.
Because we purposely record our music with all of those things, right? Because you know, like if you listen to a band and you're like, I kind of like them, but the singer doesn't sing good. Or, you know, I don't know. They sound like somebody else and they're not really. And every once in a while, you'll hear a band and you go, holy F and L, who are these guys? Who's good? That's the hemisphere that we try to be in when we write our music. And so going forward, you know, we use all of the things that happen in a band, whether it's personalities coming in and out or just overall life that gives everybody who's a musician a reason to write a sad song or a happy song. We don't write happy songs.
No.
Happy songs are boring. They don't sell.
None of my songs.
Everything is misery. Everything is
misery.
Everything's in my keys. I never write them.
And use the devil's triad. Free
dark.
That's not all Republicans that are in the U.S. will do that. I'm sorry. I was political on the political stuff. Anyway, I hope that gives you a better idea of where we're coming from.
Yeah. You guys sound so similar, like, to, like as far as like your story. because we're kind of the same way. Like, yeah, our stuff is really dark. You know, even in the stuff that's real, you know, seems like it's upbeat if you really listen to the lyrics.
Oh, yeah,
it's a misery and dark stuff.
Well, I have all misery songs. I mean, I have stories. Well, the story of Icarus is kind of, that's not half, there's misery, but no.
Yeah, but if you guys, that's funk metal baseline. I just came up with that one
they
day.
They are all miserable.
You know, inspired by Limp Bizkit and what's the other guys? Damn. Pocket Full of Shells, those guys. Machine. Love that. You know, Seven Folds Your Laundry, those guys are good too. But the point is that we try to emulate a lot of the styles we like.
He wanted me to be the only one on tonight.
Come on.
He said he wouldn't do this.
If he was gonna hear people want dinosaurs.
And what happened?
Hey, you should bring him on all the time because he's a great spokesman for the band, really.
Network engineer.
Got it. No. It's okay. I knew what happened. You know what? It's okay.
I mean, we didn't even have to ask, and you went right into it, and you explained it exactly. So yeah, you're bored to do that.
Some really nice things about me.
Well,
I should let that.
And I just want you guys to take a look at the drum set behind us, because this is our studio garage. I'll be sleeping here tonight. The interview, of course. But. Thank you, TJ and Wolf. I don't know how much
time we have
left. I don't know, but
we can talk as long as we need. We want to.
It's good. All right, you'll like hold up.
I can edit this later.
No, we do it all live. It's all raw. It goes right out.
Yeah, it's all live.
Yeah. Oh, come on, it's awesome. How do you know who's listening?
You know. We get comments and stuff. Yeah, I mean, we've been. Getting
I mean, people actually do hop in. Like, we have like two people watching right now.
Oh wow.
But most of the time they'll have a couple. I mean, we've had the videos after, you know, a day or so, they'll have 100 and 200 views sometimes, even more than that sometimes.
Right. Because we're going live on his page and my page. So
yeah, so you're on our band's page, and then you're on her page, and then we have it on her on the
Wolf Fear YouTube. Yeah, YouTube.
So I can keep it as I can put it on the website and stuff, right?
Yeah.
You can share it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always make little clip, like short clips, like 30, 45 seconds of the podcast. And
he does little reels.
The reels, the clips, that's good.
Yeah. 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 And you gave some good information, so you'll have some good reels.
Cool. Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, ultimately, most people who play music and get to the level of being on the stage and become basically addicted to the adrenaline and the rush of sharing something you create. It's like, here's our baby, and you put it out there, and you get positive reinforcement from people who see you play.
You get negative, too.
Live music is
well, you're always going to get negative, but you just got to overlook those.
Right. I know, but my ex-wife wouldn't be there anyway, so...
You know how I look at the negative? Usually the more negative are, the more they're actually buying your stuff, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah, I mean, they can be negative, but they're still buying your music. So,
well, we still have our day jobs.
But yeah, I mean,
so we're not there yet.
It's
yeah,
is that all of the other creative forces out there on the planet that I think about personally, all the people who are creating, no matter if it's your first chord you learn, they need to know. I'm a 30-year veteran. I've been playing music, producing music. We have all that. There's a starting point. And that nothing you do from your starting point is wrong as long as you're doing it for yourself first and you love what you do, because everything else, like I said, comes after that. The struggle is real and you have to find the right crew and you learn how to socialize and meet people in your group. You learn about personalities. You learn about bad people. You learn about bad people. You learn about good people. You learn about egos, and you learn who is a quality person and who isn't. And don't let life get in the way of that. Don't let people get in the way of that. And always be true to yourself and your creative energy. I'm about to cry.
Oh,
and when you hear Lip Shock, know that that's that's why we've been doing this for 30 years and haven't burned out into the sun like Icarus, because we've always been real about why we're doing it and the love of why we do it. And that's the message Lipshock wants to give all other up-and-comers and bands, whether they're professional or not, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you said it perfect.
Real.
I'm telling you, we need to get him. We need to get him on CNN or MTV for you. Like he's already ready to.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, but if you ever want to tour and come to Ohio, get a hold of me because we could do the
not
Wolfapalooza yet festival.
Oh yeah. Wow!
That's a great idea.
Hey, that is a wonderful idea.
Throw me in a rental van and give me enough coffee.
That's a wonderful, that's actually a wonderful idea, something like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're just trying to gather all the artists we've been talking to, like, you know, and I mean, why not? Like, we have all these independent artists, people dying to hear music, you know, why not do that? Like, nobody else is trying to do that, you know?
And the other thing, too, is, like, we have the capability to stream live and play live, so even if we couldn't physically, we would definitely... You know, okay, let's put up the first band. There's the big screen, and you stream us out and at your gig, you know, and we stop. And
she needs to tell you about what she's doing. So,
I started a new website that's coming out. I got a camera it's been in process because it cost me a lot of money.
Right.
Where my camera is going to plug into your equipment. And that way it's not like cutting in and out, and you could actually hear the band, like how it comes out your speakers. That way.
Oh, like a board mix, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And what happens is people go in and they'll buy a ticket. Yeah. And when they buy a ticket, they can actually get into the video of the live event.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just not. You're making money from the event that you're at. You're actually making money from the tickets that you're selling as well.
Yeah. Because you're selling the streaming tickets.
Yeah. And you could even do that at home. You know, you could have throw a full concert in your, you know, in your studio there and do something like that even.
Or your living room. You could just sit there in your living room and watch somebody like five states away, you know, playing.
Actually, that's a good point you're making, Wolf, because I always make this, and I'll try to keep it very concise. A lot of bands have a lot to compete with, right? Kids don't want to leave the house. They're all playing video games. People don't want to go out to eat even or watch a band because they're worried that, you know, there might be a shooting or whatever it is, right?
So, well, not even just that.
Yeah.
Kids can't go to a bar.
Yeah, right. They can't go to a bar. That's
and I've heard thousands of kids screaming, why can't I go see my uncle play, or why can't I see my brother play?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Well, now you can, because Fran is on the scene streaming. Yeah.
Being the entrepreneur she is.
Right. You could. Well, that's cool.
That's exactly sort of the why I built this whole video studio. I have a four camera switcher. I have a mixing board. Like I said, I can do it all. I can stream it all. And it's a good quality. And I didn't spend an arm and a leg. I just kind of went through and started watching what other people were doing. But my idea was to have a YouTube channel where every Saturday or whatever day it was, we would host a live studio gig and we would build up a following based on our YouTube videos, right? Because every single show we did, we would talk about the next week and say, we're going to learn these songs. Give us, you know, because in YouTube, you make money by how many viewers you have and how much interaction you have. It's all a matrix. It doesn't have anything to do with your art or bands. It's all about money. But the thing is the what you're talking about is the same thing. You build the groundswell using the current technology that's out there to feature bands that deserve to have the exposure, but just don't know how to do it, right?
Yeah.
You're a virtual management company in a way. You're like, well, because back when I was a kid and I was in a band, I remember going with a stapler and, you know, taking flyers down to all the telephone poles and stapling our gig flyers over all the other bands and had their flyers on the same telephone pole, you know?
Yeah. The goal is to help them even more, you know, like, because I can help bands with album art if they need it or music distribution, like any kind of that thing, you know, because a lot of music distribution can be a mess, you know, so sometimes it's really hard on the artist to be able to.
We're actually bringing more, as far as the band's concerned, we're bringing more.
Yeah. That's the point. And that's good. That's a great statement. That's a great mission statement.
Yeah. Now, we're also doing something new, too, which is coming at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, so we're going to do what's called a Battle of the Artists. So basically, we're gonna bring it. They'll get a clip of their song, like whatever song they want to bring, and like the best part of it they want to put. We won't be able to play the whole thing, but maybe about a minute or so.
Yeah.
And we'll go through and line up, and we'll listen to all the songs. And then we'll, at the end, we'll have an artist of the week. We'll feature them in an interview. We'll push all their content, that kind of stuff.
That's fun. I love doing stuff like that.
What he didn't say was you put it in and you put a little money into it. And if you win, you get a gift card.
There you go.
No, that's
either like Best Buy or Amazon, your choice.
I can understand it. Yeah, that's fair.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just giving more interaction and getting people to actually listen to the music, comment on it live, that sort of thing.
Yeah, because if your band wins, you could get like $50 to go spend for something that you needed.
Well, we pay for promotion all the time.
Yeah.
So that's just another form of promotion that sounds like a fun one to do. Yeah. That's how I see that, because I'm always having to, I always do that. So that's part of the game.
Yeah, eventually, once we get a bunch of people on you, that'll be a pretty interactive thing. So yeah, we're hoping to start that here. Probably in February is kind of the idea.
Get on that. You should have good results.
I think that's good.
We're in. Let us know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, we will.
Hey.
Yeah. We want everybody just to bring in, listen to their music, and, just kind of appreciate everyone's art, that they put so much work into,
If you paint a great picture, you want people to look at it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
And everybody likes the little competition too. So.
We've been in battle with bands before, the live ones. They were tough because you were only allowed to play for 12 minutes and you had to be 12 minutes or less, not 12 minutes and 1 second.
Yeah.
But the problem was that the stage was divided into two stages.
It's like a gymnasium.
And like the one curtain would open them for half the stage. So they're 12 minutes while they're playing, you're setting up. So you have 12 minutes to set up. But really,
oh my gosh,
you have less. Because you can't set up till the guys ahead of you get off.
Yeah. That's always the same thing. Whenever we play live show,
another
band, and that sound guy's like, okay, do a sound check. And I'm like, sound check? Why? Just put up the PA and let's fucking go.
Yeah.
We need no stinking sound check. You need a reality check.
But those were tough contests when you had that much time to set up and tear down. A minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we definitely should have you on again so you guys can play, play. I'm pretty sure it'll sound pretty good even from here. So
that would be fine. We would love to.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Love let's to do that. That. Thank you.
Let's make that the next thing. And it'll be Chunky, not Chunny. Yeah. Like going
Chunny Ants.
You spelled the band name right. That's probably most important.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that is the most important. You spelled your name right too. Yeah.
Find something good in there.
And I spelled the band name right. That's good.
Yeah.
And your name, you spelled Scarlet right, right?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Scarlet, yeah. Just
I don't
wanted it with capitals. Like names was, I'm like punctuations.
That's cool talking to you guys. It's made me think that maybe it's time to start doing my own little stream and getting everything set up.
Talking with you has been really fun really motivating for us too. Different opinions and new ideas.
I can tell you, a lot of the big bands, they're not interactive like that anymore. Like they release something and then they go hide for 6 months to 2 years. So they're, this kind of engagement, like people want to know, who they don't just like the music, but they want to know who you are and
this hat right here. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh.
I was going to make a point of what he was saying, but I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, I was just, I don't remember now. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this guy started out with a YouTube channel and just fixing cars, Vice Grip Garage. And now he is like on every commercial for O'Reilly's. He's really big, but he followed the same lines of personality driven, skill set. And then just basically he's fun. He's fun to watch. And that's what everybody tells me, right? I'm very engaging, and I know that that's why I'm not given a mic live, because we'd never get through the set, because I'm always practicing right. comedian while we're playing. But the point is that's the upswell, and you guys are right on you got your finger on the pulse of that, Wolf. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to bring people into your brand and your mission statement. And the only reason that really we haven't got to that point is that we have to have the people to help us a little bit with both, you know, working and it's, you know, life, right? I got a mortgage I got to pay. And my son always needs money. Money. So, you know, I have to put the priorities where they need to be.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not going to tell you, it's costing me quite a bit of money to do everything I'm doing. So,
I know how hard I have to really love. That's why the music.
Just the website is taking me over a year to get done, because it's so difficult to get the camera and the website to work properly. Mm-hmm. It's costing me probably like $4,000 so far.
Oh, well, it's something new. You know, it's not something everyone else does. So it's kind of a new venture, you know.
Well, and then there's the whole idea about like documenting your journey to getting it and then selling that as a book, just like we could do a book about Libshock, 30 years of rock and roll.
Trust me, I have a book. I can like give a big book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's and maybe that's what is the key here, is that it's your journey to what you're doing. When you finally get on the flip side and people are like, wow, have you guys seen Wolf's and TJ's show? And you know, same thing with us. It's like, not only is the music good, but the journey people would be engaged in. People love drama.
You know, I don't know. They
watch a practical that a baby be born. But the point is that's human nature.
I don't want drama.
I don't really want to go with mine as a book, because once they hit the fact that I have to work at Dollar General, they'll probably get bored with it.
Dollar General. That's what I call it.
I've always thought about writing a book, but it would be crazy. Like, people wouldn't even believe like some of the things happened. And then, of course, and I'm not even talking about our, but like my brother / cousin, our lead singer JP, it just telling some of the stories that he had touring over the year, like, it's some of the craziest.
Come on out to the porch. We're going to talk about our touring stories.
Yeah. Well, that's what we started the podcast with the band to. That we're going to start Sunday, and it might get a little, there might be some dirty stories that end up coming out.
You got to have that. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you follow our page, SCTV, and mine, because we go live on both. So,
you also check mine out too, because I also do all the video. So, you can, you know, if you guys ever need help,
I just said SMTD.
Right.
Yes. It's great to meet you, and we should say thank you for having us on. Yeah. And
it was our pleasure.
My ego feels very good.
Thank you.
You guys were
us on.
Yeah, we'll definitely go follow our pages.
All right,
seriously, there's some good things happening for us. So
good. Well, yeah. Success. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we'll just keep in. No problem. We'll keep in contact, so we can bring you back on so you can play.
Thank you. Yeah,
we'll do that for sure.
Have a good night.
You too.
You too, guests too. Well, everybody, this has been Wolf Talk. This is Libshock. Be sure to go check out on our Facebook. I left their YouTube links. And I'm one half. My name's TJ. And here's my co-host,
Wolf.
See you guys next week. Or Sunday if you join us on the SOTD podcast. You guys have a great week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.